Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington. It's been a very interesting couple of weeks here. We've had some unnamed special guests come here we can't really talk about, but for the next couple of weeks we can release it later. But we did have A&E Paranormal State here, just wrapped it up today, actually, in their investigation as of the UFOs and the paranormal activity here at Trout Lake, Washington. And so it's been a grueling 2 weeks with a lot of work, and you know, between all the other things we have going up on here at the ranch, I'm looking forward to a break. But one of the bonuses we have is a special investigator with a great sense of humor, and we've had just an awesome time here together. And he's actually out in the field right now assisting us with our investigations, and his name is Johnny Anonymous with Above Top Secret. I believe it's AboveTopSecret.com. And you can go and check out their website, and hopefully Johnny's in the field. Johnny, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here out in the field, James. It's a blizzardy 40 below right now.
Yeah, I think it's more like 100 above.
Yeah, we actually didn't know it was going to be this warm. I thank God I packed a couple of pair of shorts with me.
Yeah,
it's been a wonderful time up here. I'm hoping, since we're using a speakerphone, that you're able to hear me all right.
Oh, yeah. No, we hear you fine. You're coming through loud and clear. And it is a little early. We usually start our sky watches at what we call dark 30. And we haven't reached dark 30 yet. Hopefully some people might be starting to come out into the field. But and we've had a great time. I wonder if you want to share some of the experiences you've had here while you've been at the ranch.
No, James, what I'd rather do is perhaps share a few of my experiences that I've had since I've been here.
That sounds good.
Oh, very good. Let me grab a quick chair here as I pick up this chair and move a little closer. I have to just tell you, just right off the get-go, Mr. Gilliland, this is nothing at all what I expected when I decided to come up to some unknown little part of the Washington area known as Trout Lake. It's a beautiful area you have up here, sir.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a little piece of heaven.
It is, definitely. And I have learned just all sorts of great information about Trout Lake and Mount Adams and a lot more about the Sapfa Sanctuary. And if nobody has ever had the chance to experience paradise on Earth, then you need to possibly sometime or another in your life plan on trying to come by here to the Sapfa Sanctuary. Was that a good enough plug?
Sounds good to me.
All right.
I'll pay you later.
Okay, great. Anyway, yes, we had a number of members from our website. We have the number one conspiracy website in the world known as AboveTopSecret.com, which I think you've already plugged. And we had a number of members on our board say, hey, when are you going to interview again James Gilliland? That was such a wonderful interview you and your co-host Dave Rabbit did with him. We would love to hear more from James. So we planned on coming and doing another interview with you. But, coincidentally, you had also said the next time you ever wanted to come around and do a live investigation, you're more than welcome to come up to Trout Lake and visit the Sapfa Sanctuary. Well, it just so happened that I was able to convince the owners of AboveTopSecret.com, since I had some time off from my real job, to possibly come up here, and I suggested it to them, and it all worked out, and we came up here, and we haven't been disappointed yet.
It's been a pretty busy sky.
Very busy skies. In fact, we were not expecting it to be as busy as it's been. The very first night that we arrived, there were a whole lot of haze, and I guess maybe even chemtrails. I don't know if that actually was the case. Because I didn't get to see all the planes overhead, but my nasal passages and parts of my body were aching so much, I don't see how it could really be too much else but chemtrails that were affecting the group. But we focused our attention on the mountain, Mount Adams, which is about, I believe you said it was about 13 miles from us here?
Yeah.
And we experienced a number of unusual lights. occurring on the mountain. And we tried to, obviously, since this is kind of a preliminary investigation that we were trying to do here at your sanctuary, we were trying to guesstimate what those lights could be and try to rule out this and that. And we kind of came up with the guesstimated size that whatever these lights were, for the amount of luminosity coming off them and for as fast as they were moving, they would probably have to be about 2.5 to 3 feet wide and be powered by, something like a 250-pound generator. So I think we might have been able to rule that out, unless somebody went to a whole lot of trouble to make an extremely elaborate hoax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that goes on pretty much on a regular basis. We've had some just massive lights on the mountain, which we have on film, that when we look at them on the film and then measure them, and then you blow the mountain up and measure where they were on the mountain, you're going, that covered about a quarter mile with crisp edges on this light. And I don't know what could do that up there. You can't bring snowmobiles up there or any kind of a cat or anything, snow cat. It's all wilderness there. You're not supposed to have any kind of vehicle whatsoever up there.
And I do have to say this, that because it was an investigation, we did pull out our high-powered binoculars the day after, and we did see four hikers that we do believe slept on the mountain. But here again, we did not see them dragging either A, an extremely large light, or B, a 250-pound generator that could generate enough electricity to power such a large lamp such as that. And we also didn't see any jogging shoes that would have allowed them to run, 100-foot sprints in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, and then power up their equipment again.
Yeah, and then power up the equipment again, absolutely. Yeah, so we weren't disappointed, even though we were kind of hoping to be able to see some great sky watching. The following day, though, was very interesting. Blue skies, nice weather, and then as the night proceeded to get close to dusk, we got to see an amazing amount of objects and luminous crafts that were darting all over the place and not really in any one particular direction. Satellites, for the most part, travel in a certain trajectory, and they do that and grouped up as they are. And there are literally hundreds of satellites from the military. You've got communication satellites. You've got GPS. Cellular phone type satellites up there, and they try to keep them all revolving in the same direction. Otherwise, it would all be more of a cluster bob of satellites bumping into one another. And since each satellite costs millions of dollars to not only build it, but another several million dollars to launch into space, they want to make sure that they know that that is going to be on a proper trajectory. So when you start seeing objects, and in this case, I'm going to say UFOs. This does not mean necessarily that AboveTopSecret.com, and I'm sure you yourself would agree with this, that we're not putting an alien spin on this. Since we do not really know what these luminous crafts or objects are, they are UFOs, which means unidentified flying objects. And we saw a number of them, and they were going crazy in all sorts of different directions. So were some of the objects that we saw that particular evening satellites? Well, there's a good chance that some of them may have been, but there's also even a greater chance that what we experienced and saw were not satellites. And it was continuous, and they would, you'd see them, and they'd be a constant luminosity, and then they would, brilliantly explode with light. And here again, I don't know really of too many satellites that can do that, except every once in a while you'll have a satellite that will revolve and catch the reflection of the sun in a particular way, and it will seem to be a little bit more luminous. But if it's revolving once, you should think, as it's in the vacuum of space, that a little later on it would revolve again and give you that same luminosity, and we were not seeing that. So hence again, you might be able to rule out that these were not satellites.
We did have the NASA page up to check and see the known or any visible satellites over our area, and I know there's a 3-hour period where we saw about 35 objects flying around up there doing everything under the sun, and there were no known satellites over Trout Lake.
You know, that's an interesting point that you bring up. We went to actually pull data, real-time data, from the NASA JTRAC satellite tracking application that anybody can utilize if they want to. If you don't know where to look, you can simply go to Google, type in the letter J, then a dash, and then the word track, T-R-A-C-K, and you'll be able to pull up the website to be able to configure your computer by simply entering your zip code, or if you prefer to enter in a longitude and latitude, you can do that also. And then you just add your time to it, and it will instantaneously tell you how many satellites at exactly what time those satellites will be visible, what the magnitude and invisibility those satellites are, how high those satellites are at, and what the inclination and declination of them are, the rise and set of, it's just a cornucopia of information that it provides for you, but it's instantaneously provided for you. And the funny thing is, as you said earlier, we had a two-hour window where, according to NASA, there should not have been any satellites above us, but amazingly, we saw about 25, 30 craft that, according to NASA, shouldn't have existed for us to see.
And I think in the fall, I think there was a two-hour period where there was nothing, and I think after 3 hours we looked at it, and I believe one satellite was supposed to come over, and they just continued to fly. We kept seeing more and more and more of these objects flying all over the place.
Yeah, would you mind if I ask you a question?
Sure.
All right. Why do you think these crafts and objects might be kind of attracted to this particular spot?
You know, I kind of believe what we have here is a portal or some kind of a vortex where they're coming, and they seem to go pop in right out of these places, the same place quite a bit. And a lot of them, every once in a while, we must have saw 10, 15 ships one night all go into the bucket of the Big Dipper, just as we saw a few do that, I think last night and the night before. But we were going, why do they keep going to the same place and then vanish? You know, what is going on there? And then also, too, they're based underground. We've seen them coming in and out of the mountains. So I think there's more than one thing going on here. There's some kind of a portal or a gateway, and they're also based underneath the mountain, which has a long, long history of UFO activity in the area.
Well, you know, since this is kind of like a preliminary investigation for Above Top Secret, ATS, to our acronym-friendly friends, I do want to ask this question. I should have asked this earlier, but I want to ask, what kind of lore is there associated? I'm sure there's got to be, like, years of activity like this going on in this place. Is that not correct?
Yes, they have a long, long history of Native American lore, and they talk about some extremely advanced beings whose eyes actually glowed at night that lived within the mountain, and they look very similar to us. They're very advanced, and they would bring their wounded and their sick up to the mountain, and they would take them inside, and they would be healed. And, you know, it took very short time, So apparently they had some extremely high healing technology or spiritual technologies. We don't know, but that is one of the legends. They have a long history of seeing there. The tribal police talk openly about all the UFO activity they see. Some of the police, some of the forest rangers have talked about it. The fire tower spotters have gone on record and talked about all the UFO activity. And I think Dr. Jalen Hynek did a major study here. Greg Long, David Akers, Bill Vogel, a lot of major UFO people have been up here and investigated and have seen the activity. And, you know, everything's been going on, from encounters to seeing beings to seeing every kind of ship imaginable, every size, color, and shape. And actually, Kenneth Arnold, who coined the word flying saucers, lost sight of them when they descended on the western slopes of Mount Adams. So there is a long, long history of activity here.
And it's amazing, you listed off a number of very credible people there. It makes me wonder why there are still so many people that are resistant to believe that there could be something actually going on here. In fact, just the other night, I don't know if you had a chance to witness this, but I had several people come up and were trying to, for the lack of a better word, pass off some disinformation about what we were viewing as being nothing more than satellites. Does that go on a lot here?
Oh, it does, and it's amazing. We have had certain groups, and unfortunately, you know, we've had a lot of trouble with MUFON as well, and I don't know what it is, but there's some wonderful people that in MUFON that we've worked with that have come up here, and they've seen the ships, and they've had their own experiences, and they're very frustrated. And there's other people we've had that with MUFON that have been incredibly negative and trying, doing everything they can to debunk it or spread disinformation. So, I mean, I can go further into that, but it's just amazing how some people are so set on trying to make this not a reality. And the evidence is overwhelming. I mean, when you have triple Boeing engineers and Air Force Base commanders
air traffic controllers?
Yeah, air traffic controllers, pilots, you know, you have all these guys. I mean, these are triple Boeing engineers coming up here and having incredible experiences and saying, look, these are not ours. I don't know who these. These are people from Skunk Works coming up here saying these aren't ours. And when you have people of that caliber, you kind of wonder who these other people really think they are, considering themselves to be superior, you know, to the incredibly educated witnesses that we have coming up here on a regular basis and seeing these ships. I find it amazing, and it's just ego games, basically.
And I want you to know, sir, that AboveTopSecret.com prides itself in trying not to get themselves wrapped up with what anybody might say or hearsay. We want to see it, taste it, feel it, smell it, and touch it for our own, and we do so with a great deal of diligence. And so one thing I can say is that regardless of the skepticism that some may have or what some debunkers have probably attempted to do, I have not seen anything personally here to make me believe, and of course this is just my own personal thoughts, well, it'll need a lot more scrutiny when we take our data and our video back for analysis to be scrutinized a little deeper. But so far, I have seen nothing to lead me to believe that somebody is trying to pull one over on us.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to again thank you, sir, for being open and upfront and allowing us to come up here and do this little preliminary investigation. It's been a sheer joy. And I have to say that I have captured some stuff that in my 25-plus years of investigation, I have never witnessed nor seen before.
You know, I tell you what really kind of touched me. I found it very amusing, but we won't mention his name, but, you know, one of the members of your team that was there, and I believe he had those Russian night vision goggles.
Right.
Is that what he was using? And he picked him up, and you could hear him. He just went, holy crap, I think he used another word. But he goes, it's a disc. He goes, it's a glowing disc. And he goes, crap, and he just throws the goggles down. it was so funny because it had quite an effect on him.
Right. And, you know, here I'll just add to this without giving out any names because I'd like to have a job next week.
Exactly.
The funny thing is, all during our period of passing memos to one another and talking about where we wanted to come, because there were a number of places that were considered, but I kind of pushed it to bring the investigation here because of the guests that we brought along. They wanted, here's the dealio, James. I was given this option. All right, we have a special guest to bring along with us, but we have to guarantee that wherever we take them to, they'll be able to see something. So where shall we take them, Johnny? How about James Gilliland's place? And so that's how that all happened. But, yeah, getting back to the exec that came here from ATS, you're right. He was the one that all his life he wanted to see a UFO. He sees finally a UFO. What does he do? He throws down the binoculars and stomps off. He goes, oh, my God, I just don't believe it.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny that he totally believed it, but it was amazing. I just watching the reaction there. He's going, oh, my God, this is real, you know. This is really happening. which is pretty much standard for a lot of people.
Right. I wanted to, do you mind if I share some of that exclusive stuff that I just recently kind of gotten myself involved with your group?
Sure.
All right. I just recently acquired a device that I had been searching for about 9.5 years. And to give you a little background history about this device, this is an off-the-shelf camcorder that Sony produced back in, I believe it was 1998, when they came out with this particular off-the-shelf camcorder. It was known as the XR series, and amazingly, it stood for X-ray. One of the things that they had done is they had incorporated a different type of infrared device inside this consumer brand camcorder that everybody could purchase. And by using a neutral density filter and also a infrared filter that was in the 750 nanometer frequency range, it allowed you to be able to observe things in a different light, no pun intended, but actually, yes. And it had variable exposure, and you could use it during the daytime. It was a well-sought-after camcorder in the underground UFO community. What happened is, in less than 6 months, Sony recalled every and each one of those, including ones that were sold to the consumer, because it was later found out that if you did manipulate some of the filtering on it, supposedly, and here again I'm using this, supposedly, you could see through clothing with this. And so I guess they took that XR X-ray series a little too far, perhaps. But it became a highly sought-after camcorder. You cannot hardly find any of them. There's just a few thousand of them that are floating around. I, of course, had no need to see what my mother or father's clothing attire might look like in X-ray, but I did think it might have a great deal of advantage to be able to use in sky watching. So I looked and looked and looked. Finally, several weeks ago, I was able to obtain one off of eBay. There's a quick plug for you, friends, eBay. I paid an exuberant amount of money for it and couldn't wait to use this thing. Well, what a coinkadink. I'm heading up to James Gilliland's place where there's supposed to be a whole lot of activity. I'm going to try this puppy out. So I bring this guy up. We, of course, as you previously mentioned, had the fine TV team from A&E doing the Paranormal State documentary with you. And I set up my tripod, my camcorder, and I put on a 750 nanometer infrared filter in front of it and started letting it roll. In fact, by the way, thank you very much. You actually told me where to aim my camera at, and it turned out to be a great place. I have not deviated from that spot at all since I've been up here. And I would say probably within, maybe the first hour, there was a number of things that I could not explain that were traveling at a high rate of speed, not visible by the naked eye, and going around this one particular tree you told me I should be concentrating on and targeting the camera at, and it was just amazing. And not that that shouldn't have put a big grin on my face and make me raise my eyebrow and scratch my forehead, but later on, well, like about 5-6 minutes later, this plasma-like thing starts zipping by and revolving and everything. And I have to tell you, my friend, in 25-plus years, I have never seen or experienced or even videotaped, for that matter, anything quite like that. So thank you once again.
Yeah, it looked like something out of Close Encounters to me.
It was, I'll tell you what, in fact, we were poking fun with some of the Paranormal State guys, and we were telling them, hey, how do you like this CGI that Johnny just did? Because there's no way that I could have, obviously, been able to produce what we saw. That was the best-looking special effect that just, fortunately, happened to be real.
Mm-hmm. And we tried to duplicate it. I remember we were blowing all kinds of dandelion flowers and seeds and everything, trying to... and you could see the stems clearly, and they fell down. They didn't go up and travel at a high rate of speed and go behind trees and things of that nature. So,
yeah, one of the things as an investigator one has to do, especially working for the number one conspiracy site in the world, AboveTopSecret.com, you have to deal with a lot of skeptics and debunkers as part of your membership. So if you present any type of data, whether it's written... recorded or video data, you better be darn well sure that you've ran it through the gamut of excluding or at least getting rid of any other possibilities that it could have been. So you're right there, James. We tried to find other organic-shaped objects that could possibly float and may have even looked slightly like what we saw. In this case, with the kind of plasma ball thing, we found some dandelions. But dandelions have like a stem on them. And when we did our experiment with them, they more or less acted like a parachute and just went straight down. They didn't float off.
No.
The other thing that we can add to our arsenal in the elimination was it was going against the wind. So I don't see how a dandelion or anything else organic at a high rate of speed, and here again I can't even guesstimate how fast that thing was going because it was high enough that it was over the tree, and the tree is, I would say, a good 125 feet, maybe 150 feet. How tall is that tree?
I'd say, yeah, about that, somewhere right in between that.
Yeah, and it was passing overhead, as I said, at a great rate of speed. I don't see how a dandelion, from our perspective, at our point of view, and where my angle was set up at with the camera, could have been able to duplicate what we captured in video data.
That is behind the tree, too, as well.
It went behind the tree. You're right. One of the items that we captured dipped down, went behind the tree, and then traveled back up. And we compared it against captures of birds, bugs, all sorts of other things that nature provides for us that we could have tried to get some idea of how large this object was. In fact, you probably recall, I came running in, can I borrow that Pallades ball? I want to kick it up the side of that tree and videotape it from the same angle.
Yeah.
But needless to say, because of that, I have pretty much gone through about 32-hour videotapes now in these remaining days I've been here with that camera set up at the exact same location. Hey, by the way, I have to tell you, James and your listeners here, I'm out here and we have a small crowd that has now joined us, and I would just like to include them here just briefly. So on the count of three, I'm going to have everybody say hello to you, James. So if you folks are ready, one, two, three.
Hello.
That's the fine group that's out here. As I said, it's a blistery 40 below, but we're suffering through it. We're going to soldier on. But, in fact, I want you guests and friends that are out here with me, if you will look to your right, you'll see a tripod that is set up that's about, 75 feet from where the last person is sitting over there. And you'll see a little piece of paper that says, do not touch. Well, that's because we're recording right now, and we are aimed at those trees and part of Mount Adams. And that is exactly where I have been capturing all this stuff. And it's been amazing, literally amazing. Of course, you folks can't see it, but visualize it. It's beautiful. It really is. Is it not beautiful, people?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. They're a wonderful crew. I'll have to pay them later. I went into comedic mode there just for a second.
Yeah.
But, it's been wonderful. I know for a fact that when I get back to the studio, I'm probably going to be locked in there for at least 2.5-3 weeks going through all this video. In fact, you know for yourself, I've been borrowing your big screen for the past couple of days and running in and out with new tape and looking at it real fast. And it's been really exciting. I can't tell you that, I will tell you this. This is one of the few times in probably many, many years that I have actually feel re-energized and excited again in this ufology. I so often go to places where I see the usual nothing. And in this case, it was exciting to actually be able to see stuff.
Well, you know, what's great is that you have this, you call it low-tech equipment, but to me, it's extremely high-tech. You have this amazing amount of equipment out there and the databases to check on satellites and the several different types of night vision and screens, big screens to pull it up. And you're pegging just about everything that flies over incredibly well. It's just amazing, but the expertise involved that you're bringing to the party here is just amazing, and it adds so much more credibility to the experience.
Well, thank you so much. That's very nice of you to say that, sir. It took me, as you did mention, it is low tech. It is all off-the-shelf equipment, so you're not going to see me out here with a $24,000 forward-looking infrared device because I would like to be able to buy gas for the next 5 or 10 years if the economy allows me to do so. But I attempt to do what I can, and surprisingly, I've been having some pretty decent results with it. I needed to try to find a monitor that would allow me to go out in the field that was large enough to be able to view without looking through. And I'm sure everybody has gone through this. If you've ever looked through a telescope, and you know how small that little optical eyepiece is, and you end up getting eye weary. Well, that's how these infrared devices are. They've got a real small little optical viewfinder, and you have to adjust the diopter every time because your eye is close to it, so it gets out of focus. Well, I bought one of these cheap little DVD players, and if I don't use the DVD player, the monitor, which is about 10.2 inches big, will give me about 6 hours of time, and I was able to, again, nice plug for eBay, able to get it for under $100, and it's worked for me very well. I don't have to strain my neck looking upwards. I can pan this thing from a chair if I wanted to, although I choose not to, and get some pretty good captures with it. And I rival, unfortunately, you guys that have gone ahead and bought the $4,000 to $5,000 Generation 3 goggles. I can rival pretty much everything you guys are seeing, and the advantage is I can videotape it.
Oh yeah, I mean it's incredible. I can't wait to get on eBay and try to find some of the gear that you have, and your years of research and probably playing with all kinds of equipment, some working, some not. You know, I can avoid all that by just taking a few notes and learning from you.
Well, you know, here's the funny thing. I'm kind of a techno geek, low-tech techno geek. I'm the guy that when in high school ran the projector, you know, for all the classes in junior high and elementary school. Of course, I also got thrown in the garbage can all the time because I was that kind of nerd that got thrown in there. But it's paid off finally. So all you guys that used to throw me in the garbage can, ha ha!
Yeah, really? Yeah, where are they now?
That's
probably
right.
Prison.
Show me your UFOs.
Yeah, well, they're probably all in prison right now.
Probably, yeah.
But anyway, there's a few other things I wanted to talk about. One is that as far as the credibility factor, we received some information that you're privy to and that we would have a sighting at 10 o'clock.
Ah, yes.
And we knew exactly where. We said it was going to be in the east, and it would be a little more towards the mountain in the east. It would come exactly at 10 o'clock, and it would power up. It would be a major power up. So, you know, leading into that, what happened that night?
Well, this is very amazing. Once again, the fine folks from A&E at the Paranormal State TV program were here, and of course, I kind of got the idea, James, that they may have had a particular angle that they were trying to go towards when they came in here, and I don't want to spoil it for everybody, but I think it was like a debunking angle. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But I think they got rather surprised when you would suddenly say, oh, you know what? Hey, everybody, at 10 p.m., I want you to look over here towards the east, towards the mountain. I think we might see something. And I swear to God, listeners, exactly at 10 p.m., I looked at my watch, and I'm sure everybody else that had a watch on did too. 10 p.m. Pacific time, we had an object appear, and not only did it grow extremely luminous, it was so luminous it lit up the area a little bit by the naked eye. I mean, you didn't need to have an infrared pair of goggles or a device as I use. Everybody saw it, and it was quite incredible. Now, here's the funny thing, though, and I'm sure you probably noticed this yourself. We had some fantastic captures. We had some events that happened. Didn't you think it was kind of strange that the TV show didn't want any of that?
Yeah, it was a little strange, but I think there, you know, because I went and talked to him after that, because I made it very clear. I said, okay, you guys, you got to be on the ball here at 10 o'clock because you're not going to have very much time. And you need to be aimed in that area, powered up, ready to go to catch this because you're not going to have a lot of time to get it. And I made it very clear to them, and they were very cooperative. They were there. They had two or three cameras on it, and they had their night scopes or whatever, night vision on their cameras ready to go, and they said they got it. They said they got some really good footage of that event. And to me, it's hopefully they just want to shoot it themselves and get it on their own camera. And
okay, well, then this is...
I hope that's all that is.
Yeah, this is news to me because the crew guys that I had talked to said that they had not captured it. Now, of course, there were three or four separate teams that were out rolling, so for us, I was just talking to the wrong team. So, well, that's good. I'm glad
I talked to the cameraman personally, and I said, did you catch that? And he goes, I got it.
Perfect.
And I said, did you have your night vision on? He says, I had it on. And he said it was massive, you know, and he said I've got it. And so I know at least one of them got it, and I asked him, did anybody else get it? And he goes, oh, yeah, they got it. So.
Well, I know that the rest of the group that was out here with us, you know, it was one of those type of deals, and for anybody that's never been out here to the sanctuary, I'm sure some of you guys have been out to a baseball field or whatever, to a stadium, a sports arena, and, you know, at some point or another, someone in the crowd, or if not everyone in the crowd, will do like an ooh or an ah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's exactly what happened here. You could hear it from end to end of the stadium. Oh! It's great when stuff like that happens.
Oh, yeah. It was just in unison. Everybody screams at the same time. And, you know, hopefully they had their sound on for that one.
In fact, well, you know, of course, while we've been talking here, I've been more or less, I've kind of pre-set up some equipment here. And we are starting to get a little dark now. So I am going to start switching on the infrared gear. And hopefully, maybe we might have something while we're doing this show. And maybe we'll be able to get the same type of reaction out of some of the fine folks. In fact, let me count them right now. Oh, geez, there's way over 1,000 people right now that are over here to my right. But
I don't want to come up out of the hole now. If you got 1,000 people out there,
just to make sure that there's a few of them that are a little closer than the rest of the group. So I just want to make sure that they're on top of things here, Jane. So indulge me just one second here. Hey, group. On the count of three, I want to hear a big ooh out of you guys, like we saw a big object. Here we go. One, two, three. Oh, these guys are good. These guys are going to cost me way too much money tonight, James.
Now, is there anybody in the group that you might want that was here last night and saw that power-up? I wonder if there's anybody there that wants to just give a quick recap of their experience.
Well, that's a fine idea. Let me see. Would there possibly be anybody here that was here last night? Show of hands. Anybody here from last night? You know what? It's about 50-50 right now. Let me
All
see
right.
if I can find somebody that might be close. You, ma'am, would you mind coming up here and sharing with us what you saw? Or are you a deaf mute? No, she's not a deaf mute.
I hear her laughing.
Give her a hand here. Maybe she'll come up here and join us. Come on up here. We have some fine parting gifts for you afterwards. Yes, come up here. You grab that chair. All right. Tell everybody who you are, please.
Hello, my name is Julie.
For you folks that don't know, that's Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
So, you were here last night.
Yes, I was.
What did you see?
Well, in fact, when I was on my way to bed, I stopped off to say goodnight to you.
Uh-huh.
And it just so happened that we looked in the sky, and I think you were about to turn your equipment off, if I remember correctly. And all of a sudden, we saw a bright light moving very quickly, and it was incredibly impressive.
It was. And what time was that?
Was it... somewhere around just shortly after 10?
It would have been. It would have been 10 on the nose.
10 on the nose.
Yes. There will be no parting gifts for you. Now, is this your first time being out here at the sanctuary?
No, it's my second time.
Okay, well, what made you come to the sanctuary the first time?
I attended the third annual conference.
Really? And what was that like?
It was absolutely earth-shattering.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, and obviously, so earth-shattering, you had to come again.
Exactly.
So would you probably say, well, look, if you've never been out here or if you're skeptical about what's happening, you know, a lot of people are a little leery about coming out and experiencing something new like this. They might associate it as new age or something like that. So So what are your thoughts? Or what kind of place is this?
This is a very natural setting where one can experience the bliss of their own being, for one thing. And as far as what's up in the sky and the heavens, seeing is believing.
Absolutely. Thanks, Julie, for joining us.
The truth is that the proof is in the pudding.
The proof is in the pudding. There will be $20 for you later. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't know that lady, James. Really, I don't.
Hey, well, let me know if you run out of money, because I know we left a whole stack of bills there on the table for... these people.
And of course, I hope your listeners understand that I, you know, as a radio show host myself, I add a little comedy in my show. If your listeners haven't gathered that yet, so please forgive me if I'm not poking fun. I think that in this particular genre, and I don't care what paranormal genre it is, if you can't have a little fun at what you're doing, then there's something wrong with you. You know, there's
shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, you have to. You can't take it all real seriously without having a good positive time with it, and I try to do that.
Mm-hmm. Do we have anybody else out there that might have saw the?
Well, let me scan through the crowd one more time here. Would there happen to be anybody else here that was here last night? We had a show. Oh yes, how about you, ma'am? You, ma'am, over there. Would you mind joining us? I have a chair right here. You know, I feel like I'm Monty Hall here, James. All right. Or what's my line? I'm about ready to ask her to please come in and sign her name, please. And yeah, enjoy. Sorry. Well, who are you, and were you here last night?
Yes, I was here last night.
And your name, please?
Michelle.
Lovely name.
Thank you.
I think the Beatles named a song after you.
Please don't sing it again.
I won't. It won't be a karaoke evening, I promise. Okay, well, now, you probably heard what Julie had to say.
Yes.
And did you actually get to see this object?
Yes, because earlier that day, James had gotten information that we'd see something at 10, and it was right on the nose.
Wow. And kind of describe it. I mean, was I lying when I said it was luminous, so luminous that it lit up the sky,
and
you could
up.
See it by the naked eye?
Yeah, it definitely powered up, lit up, for sure. So much that you can't negate it. And the timing was right there. The fact that he was able to let others know that he had gotten that information was a point of truth where people couldn't dismiss it.
Yeah, it's kind of hard when somebody is willing to put their reputation on the line hours ahead of the event and say, at this particular time, there's going to be something happening.
That's not the first time that's happened, though. That happened previously when the other guests were here, and it was 9 o'clock, same thing.
Really? Did I miss that memo?
You may have.
I may have. I probably did, because I was...
You were probably speaking out techno.
Exactly. Probably
something.
Was. I was doing the servitude of techno and technology. You're right. Well, it sounds like this may not be the first time that you've witnessed these things happening here.
No, I've been here a month now, and it's been amazing.
Yeah?
It's not just the sky watch and what we see up there. It's the feeling of the land and the energy here and the spiritual base. It's an amazing place. I feel it's an activation place, actually.
Sure. If I recall correctly, you were here when we had our special guest from the United Kingdom that was
here.
Excuse me. And when we pulled up, of course, the skies were completely covered. We couldn't see.
Chemtrails.
Yeah.
Heavy land.
Excuse me.
Chemtrails.
So we were looking at the mountain. Did you happen to see those lights on the mountain like we were?
Yes. They weren't as bright as my first visit last September. I was in awe of that. It would look like a portal. It just lit up so bright. Someone had handed me binoculars, and I think they heard me from the house squealing because I couldn't believe what my eyes were seeing. But I knew what my eyes were seeing.
Sure.
It's a doorway, I think.
Really?
Yeah. It was really luminous.
And how long ago was this?
Last September.
Last September. So almost a year.
Exactly, yeah.
That's wild. And now, outside of the size, you said the size was larger.
Yeah.
Was it anywhere near the same region?
Yes.
That, really?
Yes.
Now, don't you think, James, that somebody should go climb up to that particular spot and maybe take some photographs? That, to me, sounds like the deal.
You know, we've gone up there.
We've
taken expeditions up there right at that spot, and we were right on top of it, and all there is massive lava boulders there. There's nothing else there. And we've gone up there a couple of times and filmed the whole thing, and there is nothing there. I don't know... how they do that, if they have some kind of a hologram there that opens up, or they who knows, but something opens up there, and it's massive when it does.
Out of curiosity, and of course, you know, this is the investigator of me coming into play here, but the lights that we saw, have you ever personally gone up there with some lights and tried the same thing?
You know, we did. We took a 7 million candle power light up there, and we had an investigator up there and with a cell phone, and we were in contact with him, and he could see the house very clearly. He had some binoculars, and he said, "I see the house. I see where you're at." And so we had a clear field of vision between us and the light, and he was up there, and he camped up there most of the night and shined the light back and kept shining it. And he's asking if we could see it, and we couldn't see it. And we kept saying, "Is it on? Is it on?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm aiming it right at you." And when he hit it right at us, we'd see a flicker, like a little match, basically. And you'd see a flicker, which was faint. And nothing anywhere near what we're seeing up there on the mountain.
Wow. I don't know how, you know, this is part of the problem of being an investigator. You try to come in and do your job, and capture and document what you see. But there are certain times where you have to think out of the box, because science doesn't seem to work all the time in providing you with real-world answers.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it is that we are totally outside the box here. That's the problem. But, you know, what the problem is that people have very little boxes. And so it's just time to get a bigger box. And this all fits into quantum physics, and it fits into, you know, the latest breakthroughs in physics and things like that. And once you understand these, it all fits right in there. But if you go by the conventional 1% reality nuts and bolts that we can measure, it does not fit into that parameter. It's so far outside that box. You know, and if people want to stay in that 1% that's filled with recycled ignorance and keep that as their reality and their own reality, we're fine with that. But this goes so far beyond that they just need to, you know, they need to empty their cup a little bit, because their cup is full, and we can't put anything else in it, you know.
Sure.
I don't want to tell you what the cup is mostly full of on the air, so we'll just leave it at that.
And in this case, it doesn't matter if the cup is half full or half shy. It's still half.
Yeah.
I just want to give your listeners kind of a little lowdown of what I'm doing right now. I am now starting to, it has gotten to the point where we have a lovely sunset over to the west, and I am starting to fire up the equipment here, because I know we're probably down to, are we down to like our last 10 minutes here? Is that correct?
Yes, we are.
So I'm firing up the equipment, and my hope is that we'll be able to capture something and be able to give your listeners a real treat. And so I am targeting our equipment right now on Mount Adams, and so you'll have to excuse me here if I sound like I'm not completely here, because I've got into techno mode. And I'm going to swing our monitor around so that our fine friends and guests here. I don't know if everybody can see that. Are you folks able to see that okay?
Yeah.
A little louder, please.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, bless you all. All right, so we are focused in right now on Mount Adams, and hopefully, maybe we'll be able to get some lights shining off there, or illuminated from, probably not shining. There was a duck that just went by. Lovely creatures, those ducks. Anyway, I got to ask you this. Speaking of ducks, has there ever been a time where, somebody had seen something and it turned out to maybe be a flock of birds? I mean, is it easy to make a mistake when you're looking for an object at nighttime?
You know, we filmed a lot of everything from bats to birds to you name it, to have things to measure against, you know, the footage that we do have, and to give us reference points. And there's no comparison to what we've been taking and these pictures of the birds. And they also do maneuvers that, you know, birds can't do. They'll stop and sit in one spot for God knows how long, you know, be coming in real fast, just come to a stop, sit there, sometimes they go back the other way and then just take off at a right angle at, you know, several thousand miles an hour, and I really don't know any birds that can do that, to my knowledge.
Right. You know, one of the things that I hear a lot of your guests talk about is the numerous orbs that are seen out here, and I can only assume this, that there has to be some type of ley lines, earth grid lines, if you will, that intersect here at the sanctuary. Would that be correct?
Yes, quite a few people have come here, and they have measured the grid lines and said that this is an amazing place where they do intersect, and we actually have a pyramid building built right on top of the grid, exactly, you know, right in that where they intersect. And, you know, we had our Chip Coffee here, one of the psychics that was here with the group, with the A&E group. He walked into that pyramid, and he got real dizzy, and his ears started ringing, and he goes, "What is going on here?" And felt the energy there, and that's one of the spots that we do a lot of the counseling work and a lot of the healing work that we do.
Okay, well, we're going to try a little of experiment here since we're talking about orbs. I've got all of our friends out here. You 990 that are over there, you guys don't have to do this. I just want to talk to these 10 that are over here right now. If you have a camera, could I indulge you at this time, please, to grab your camera, get the flash ready, and perhaps I'll wait here just a little bit, sir. I can do a little fill-in. Make sure your flash is on. We're going to try a little test out here. As I said, I am standing, maybe I didn't say, I am standing in front of the crowd here with Mount Adams back behind me, and also those wonderful two big trees that I've been catching a lot of items. On the count of three, folks, I want you to all take a photograph of me, if you could, and we'll see if we can capture some orbs tonight. Are you folks ready? Here we go. One, two, three. I'm blind! it was synchronized. And now if you folks could all just kind of take a quick gander at some of your camera views and see if you got anything.
You know, Johnny, I wanted to ask you a quick question.
Sure, please.
You know, when we did the interview for Above Top Secret, something kind of bizarre happened in the very beginning of the interview. Do you want to talk about that?
I will hear in just a second. You'll have to repeat the question. I'm having our friends here coming up and showing me their photographs. One gentleman has brought up his camera, and he's showing me, it looks like, I don't know, what do you think, 50?
Orbs?
Yeah,
maybe 35?
Yeah. What I've done here, James, is I've holded, I have you on speakerphone, and I've held this up so that they can kind of hear you, too, and in unison, they all took photographs of me. By the way, isn't that a lovely shot of me holding that telephone? How about you, ma'am? How's your shot? Did you get...
Yeah, I think
it's hard to get. Oh, yeah, there's quite a few in that one.
Sounded like he got about 35, he said, 50 to 35.
He had about 35 to 50. She had about 15 to 25 from her angle, and she was about another 25 feet away. I'm going to walk over here and see what this young lady has. And she says, no, her flash didn't quite work. So one more time here, friends. If you don't mind, indulge me, and let's try it one more time. Let's see if the orbs and the feeling and the entities and everything else, the goodness of the of nature and this wonderful area, the sanctuary, might be blessing us with some orbs. So on the count of three, we'll try it one more time. And think positive thoughts, people. Here we go. One, two, three. And that is what we call in the radio business dead air. There,
yeah.
just a little bit there. But you see, that kind of built up the suspense there.
Yeah, we only have maybe a couple minutes left, and I was really hoping you'd cover that little incident that happened before we interviewed you. Or before you interviewed me, you might say.
Oh, okay, now I know what you're talking about. All right.
Battery.
Very briefly, and then I'll check everybody's pictures out.
Okay.
I was going to do an interview with you. My Olympus recorder went dead on me because... the batteries were dead. I mean, I got no display, no, dead. James, I'm sorry to inconvenience you. I'm going to run to the car, grab some new batteries. You say, John, no, hand me your batteries. And I go, okay. And I thought you were going to throw them away for me. What a nice guy you were. But no, you held them in your right hand. I'm getting ready to run to go get some more batteries. You go, no, sit down. and then you hand them back to me in about a minute. And I said, what should I do with these? We'll put them back in your device. I put them back in my device, and son of a gun, if they weren't completely charged, I was able to do not only a 40-minute interview with you, but another interview later on, and today I looked at it, and it still shows that they are completely, fully charged in that device that I did.
Oh.
Is that the experience you were wanting to share?
Yes, exactly.
And I was amazed. In fact, I told you that you could save me a whole heck of a lot of money because I buy so many batteries, and I've been trying to go green.
I like even my dog verified. I heard that in the background.
Yes, Jar Jar said, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time.
That's right.
You know, I can't wait to get up there on the deck and see what's going on and join you all in the Skywatch. And I can't thank you enough, Johnny, for coming on the show. And again, this is Johnny Anonymous with Above Top Secret. And I believe it is AboveTopSecret.com. Am I correct?
You are correct. In fact, everybody here wants to say good night to you on the count of three. One, two, three.
Good night.
All right. Thank you. All righty. Well, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. And remember what Einstein said, condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
Planet synthesized from spirit through the mediumship of Robert Murray. Listen in to The Peaceful Planet every Saturday at 12 noon Central to music from the angelic realms, including inspired songs from John Lennon, George Harrison, and Michael and the Band. This is show host Marcia McMahon inviting you to join us as we share messages from the Ascended Masters and the Archangels as we bring you into a higher vibration of love and peace for the planet. Hear my weekly interviews with cutting-edge world teachers and musical talent.
Do you like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? We are one on the Peaceful Planet show at www.bbsradio.com every Saturday at 12 noon Central Time.